You know, Barbara, I watched a documentary the other day, and they're doing some archaeological study in this part of the country where Sodom was, right?
Yes.
And they have found chemical evidence that there was fire and brimstone and these things that God rained down on that city in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding that, validating again. Now, this is a validation in the natural world. But, you know, some people, I just sensed when we were teaching this a while ago, some people say, well, that's just a story. That didn't really happen. Folks, it really happened.
Yes,
it happened in the natural world. Things
did.
Came out of the heavens and destroyed that wicked city.
Yes.
And don't take chances with wickedness, man. I'll tell you, there's a lot of ways. And someday God's just had enough. And sometimes I've seen that with people's lives where God just pulled his hand back and say, okay, let judgment prevail.
Mm-hmm.
And judgment happened in their lives. And you don't want that.
That's right. Now, here is an instance where the angels came to warn and to rescue. And they did not come to destroy. God did the destroying of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is said in several verses here that God is the one who poured the hail and the brimstone down on this city and destroyed the city. Now, we're going to look into three other scriptures here in Joshua 5:13, in Judges 6:11, and in Judges 13:17, where the angel of the Lord came to Joshua, came to Gideon, and came to Manoah. And Darren, I truly believe the angel of the Lord was Jesus. And there are three instances here where the angel of the Lord is, we can prove that he was Jesus. But there are over 60 instances in the Old Testament where it actually says the angel of God or the angel of the Lord. And
you're saying there is being, the wording is being very specific, the angel of the Lord.
Right. And in Joshua 5:13, we see that there is a man who stands before Joshua, who gives him direction as far as his fighting. He is the captain of the hosts. This is Jesus. And Joshua bows down to him, and he allows Joshua to bow down to him. Now, other instances in the word, when men bow down to the angels, they say, oh, don't bow down before me. I'm a fellow servant. You know, I'm a servant of yours, or I'm a servant of God. Don't bow down to me. But here was an instance where they did. And also in Judges 6:11, when Gideon is just this precious man, he's the least of his tribe, and he's very scared and fearful. And the angel, the angel of the Lord comes and appears to him. And this is such an important scripture because he gives Gideon strength and encouragement to be very courageous.
Now, but while you're looking for that, I want to point out here, Gideon was scared.
He was.
If you've seen a wine press, they're huge. And he had taken the wheat in there to beat out some wheat so they could have some flour. We're talking here about survival, in a sense. But was also, and keep this in mind, when the angel appeared to him, he was very fearful.
Yes, he was. And the angel of the Lord, who we recognize as Jesus, said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon was anything but valiant at this point. And this is in Judges 6:12. And then Gideon says to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about? And so the angel encourages him through this. And we remember that Gideon's army destroyed the Midianites in these next few chapters.
Yeah, but now let me give you verse 16 of this chapter here, Judges 6. But the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midians as one man.
Oh, praise God.
Now, here we're talking about a supernatural strengthening, supernatural instruction. God was laying out the battle plan. God was giving him identity. And many of us don't realize, but God wants to give us identity in the battle plan. He wants to strengthen us.
That's right.
And you know, every time, Barbara, I've had contacts with an angel, I have never been left weakened. Now, sometimes I was so blown away. In fact, one situation where an angel came and sat down and had coffee with me. You know, they must be going to have coffee in heaven, Barbara. Well, I'll just tell the story. I was on an outside patio, and they had these little round tables.
This is a supernatural story.
This happened on the West Coast, as a matter of fact, in the Seattle area. But in this outside coffee bar, you could go up to the side of the building. They'd opened up a window there, and you could order the mochas and all kinds of the specialty coffees, which I had done. And the only place available was out to the very curb of this place, and there were probably 20 tables out there. And there were two or three people around every table. Well, I went out and I found one vacant table. I sat on. There were two chairs there. And I sat down, and I had been sipping my coffee for a little bit. And I looked up, and here was a man. He looked like he was 55 or 60 years old, gray hair, a very charming, very handsome man. And I just nodded to him because there was only one seat left. He was standing there holding his coffee. And I thought, well, I'll be polite. You know, there's no reason why he can't come, you know, total stranger, and sit down at the table here. Well, he sat down on my right, and he started talking to me, and he started operating in what I would call, in natural terms, mm-hmm. he was operating a real gift of discernment. And
now,
he
this was a regular man, well-dressed. Was he taller than you, a little bit older?
No, about my height.
Okay, all right. So this was a human being. He didn't look any different from anybody else around there.
He was a man. Okay. Okay, having a cup of coffee. So he sat down, and so I looked to my right to this gentleman. He sat down there, and I had not said a word. I just nodded and made gestures, you know, like, you're welcome to sit down here, you know, and help yourself. And I was trying to be kind, okay. So here he looked at me, and he said, you're about to do something very serious in your life. And I thought, you know, I have operated in a gift of discernment like that for years with other people, but it had never been done to me. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, this doesn't feel good. I'm very uncomfortable here. And I said, no, I'm trying to blow it off and push him away and say, no. He said, no. And then he started getting up close to me, like up close and like gestures. It's almost like he wanted to tip my chin up and look me right in the eye.
Well, and he got very specific,
didn't he?
He got very specific.
Yes. And he said, no. Here's what you're about to do.
Whoa.
And I said, no. And I was really trying to say, I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was so insistent, and finally I said, okay, you're right. And inside my spirit and my brain were going 1,000 miles, an hour, because I thought, wow, I've never seen this guy before. I've never been here before in this little place. Mm-hmm. I've never, ever been there.
But he gave you very godly advice then, didn't he?
Well, then he did. And I said, when I cooperated then, because he was nailing me,
yes.
he was saying, you're not going to put me off.
That's great.
And so
somebody
I realized,
telling Darren Carmack, you're not
well,
going to put me off.
I realized I've been had, you know. So I looked at him, and he gave me very specific counsel. And it was so devastating in intensity. It didn't scare me. The shock value was so supernatural. And I looked away to my left because it was this imposing figure here was telling me things about my life that nobody knew. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew. I turned away just to kind of gather myself together, and I turned back, and he was gone. Now, there was no way, Barbara, that he could get away.
No, because
no way.
When you took me to Seattle just a few years ago, and you said, now, where would, because you lived out there for many years, and you said, where would you like to go? Because I'd heard of Ivers Acres of Clams and all this for years, and all the gorgeous harbor and everything. And the one thing I wanted to do was go to that a coffee shop where you had seen the angel. And so we went there, and they didn't have tables and chairs out there, but we got tables and chairs situated just the way they had been. There was no way, Darren, and I even have a picture. We had a gentleman take a picture of us there. There is no way you cannot see a man leaving, because there's a huge parking lot spread out.
Right.
You cannot
there's nothing you could get behind.
That's right.
You know? And here we were, but I went inside and I got a table, and I said, I need a table, a couple of chairs, I need to take a picture. And the people say, okay. So there was another shop there at this time. Of course, it had been several years since that had happened. But I reconstructed the scene, and I said, I'll sit here, and Barbara, you can sit where the angel was seated. And then we handed a stranger walking by, I said, would you take our picture? That's one of the most treasured photographs that I have, and I have mm-hmm. it up in my office.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the day the angel came in human form, and he talked to me, and he was just as real. I mean, dressed very nice, hair done very nice. He was real.
That's
right. And that's what we're saying here in Scripture. These angels appeared in human form.
Yes, it reminds me of the Scriptures in Hebrews 13, is it 2? I've got to look that up. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels unaware. And I believe you were hospitable